warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to The Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting in our second studio with my bud David Niles at his house.
This is the original studio.
The original studio. You're right. Yeah, this is the original studio. We normally record over at my house, but today we're recording over at Dave's. Dave's wife is gone, and so Dave is being a father, like fathering it up this Sunday afternoon.
Dude, I'm fathering so hard right now.
Yeah, but while Elizabeth is asleep.
Yeah, because I'm present in the house while the daughter is napping.
Right. Hardcore fathering.
Yeah, I mean, take notes.
Yeah, but welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're excited that you have tuned in. If you've caught us on iTunes or St. Michael Catholic Radio, Oklahoma Catholic Broadcasting, Christ the King in Lafayette, Louisiana, Breadbox Media, any of our social media pages.
All of the above.
Welcome. We're so glad that you tuned in. And actually, Dave, our Facebook page kind of hit a monumental
milestone.
Milestone. There you go. That's what I was going for.
Yeah. Very exciting times.
Yes. We hit over 1,000 this last week.
I was going to try to keep track of who the 1,000th was, but in the morning, it's like, all right, I checked. We had 997 likes on Facebook. And then throughout the day, I kept checking. And then once, all of a sudden, I checked again, and it was up to 1,003. So six people did it all real fast, and I missed it.
But what I think we're going to do is we just ordered some Catholic Man Show t-shirts and bumper stickers.
Yeah.
And we also have our Glencairn glasses. So once our bumper stickers and t-shirts come, like as soon as they're delivered, we're going to give one away. We're going to give one away on our Facebook page.
I hope I win. I want to win so bad.
But you should go to our Facebook page because we also just had Ken Henderson, who's our friend, start a blog for us for the Catholic Man Show.
Yep.
And he posted an awesome article, which a lot of guys have asked us about, right? I mean, we've had a lot of people come and ask us, hey, how do we start a men's group? How do we start a pint, pipe, and cross
group?
Yeah,
especially when we did the episode on it. People, that's been one of our most common questions is, hey, how do we get one of these started?
Right.
And so Ken, his whole website was kind of about the pipe, the pint, and the cross. And so we've been directing people to his website, but now we're happy to announce we've kind of merged him in with us.
Yeah, so he's going to be writing either a biweekly or monthly blog on men getting together and how they do that, how they format the meeting or the lack of formatting of the meeting,
yeah.
Who they should invite, what materials they should use, just all the kind of things that we've already done and kind of ran through and figured out this is what works and this is what doesn't.
Yeah, and so Ken is he's got an amazing conversion story, and he was on the journey home. Is that
what? Yeah, with Marcus Grody.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you can go on YouTube, type in Ken Henderson, The Journey Home, and you can watch his that video of his, and you can check out his sweet haircut from back in the day.
Or lack of haircut.
No, I think he had a ponytail, man.
A lack of a haircut.
I see what you mean.
Hmm.
Yes. But it's pretty righteous.
It is pretty righteous, but now he has his hair all... He does have a haircut now.
He does, yeah.
But yeah, he's a friend of ours. He lives really close to us, and he kind of heads up our Pint, Pipe, and Cross group.
Yeah.
And does a great job. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a blast.
So go over.
I was bummed out. I didn't get to go last month.
Yeah. Yeah. We kind of missed you, but not really. It seemed like it was a lot. It flowed a lot better without you. No, I'm just joking. But So go over to our Facebook page, check it out, share it with other guys, because we've already kind of got a lot of guys coming in that says, hey, we're going to try this out. Share that story with us. Let us know how it's going. We'd love to hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And share it with other guys. But today, Dave, the three things that we do, the first thing we always do is the man beverage. And I'm pumped about our man beverage today.
Yo, me too. I was just about to say, Adam, we have a treat.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell them about
because
it.
Because our buddy Jacob Hobbs... Mm-hmm. Was over here the other day, and he said, hey, I got a whiskey for you guys to try on the Catholic Man Show. And I was like, oh, really? What is it? And he said, oh, it's a 18-year Glenfiddich. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, sweet.
We do need to try that on the Catholic Man Show.
Yeah.
So he brought it over to us today, and we've got it.
Yes.
And we've done Glenfiddich before, right?
Well, the 14-year U.S. Reserve Glenfiddich,
yes,
which is one of my favorites.
But the 18-year, once you get up to like hit the 15-year mark with whiskey, the price
skyrockets.
It's like goes parabolic, you know. But he got a buddy gave him this, I think it's a gift, a while back, mm-hmm. and then he found another bottle in Kansas, I think, that was just super cheap. And when I say super cheap, I mean like $80. And I think this one is, I didn't look up the price, but...
It's about $118.
I was going to say $120 is what I was going to guess.
At least that's what the internet says. So, okay. I mean, so in Oklahoma, you're going to catch it somewhere between $100 and $130, depending.
Yeah.
I mean, depending. So it's a treat for us.
It is absolutely a treat.
Yes. So this is the Glenfiddich single malt whiskey, Scotch whiskey, spelled without an E.
Right, because it's a Scotch
or just a malt,
as they say in Scotland.
Right. Thank you, Father Neil, for letting us know. So, without further ado, let's jump into this, Dave.
Dude, I want to. We're okay. On the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So, raise your glass. How's it smell?
Smells really good. It smells of baked apples and cinnamon. I have a baked apples and cinnamon smell right off the nose.
I keep thinking you're about to say bacon. I keep maybe even subconsciously hoping you're about to say bacon. Do you think they make a bacon whiskey?
I'm sure they do. It's a very smooth whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
The hints of apple and pear.
The cinnamon is...
Is strong.
There's definitely kind of that cinnamon. And, you know, it's probably really the alcohol has a burn. But it's nice when they kind of blend it in with that cinnamon flavor.
Yeah, it's a very robust, full-bodied single malt whiskey.
Totally. What do the tasting notes say? Because I thought you had some.
Yeah, so, well, the characters of it says raisins, apples, pears, and oak with a little honeysuckle.
A little honeysuckle,
And
huh?
I think the honeysuckle and apples can kind of go back, like, it's the sweetness, I think, is really what they're trying to point out there. Because you can kind of catch a little bit of the sweetness. There's an elegant nose that's faintly sweet, scented with apples and wood. I really like the color of it. We were kind of talking about that right before we started.
Yeah, it's like a...
Very caramel.
Yeah, maple, like amber.
Amber. It's darker than a lot of others, which is probably because they use individually casks afterwards.
Well, also, you know...
They marry them in small batches.
It's also in the wood longer.
Right.
So it's going to take on the color of the wood.
Right.
Because it's been in the wood for 18 years.
Right. So it's patiently matured in the finest Oloroso sherry and bourbon casks before being married into small individually numbered batches to create an extraordinarily smooth and rich single malt.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
And just a little history
with
Glenfiddich.
Tell me.
Because Glenfiddich, like... I actually thought that Glenfiddich was the name of the person who started the distillery.
Sure.
Not the case. In 1886, William Grant fulfilled his lifelong ambition in building his own distillery, and he named it Glenfiddich, which is Gaelic for Valley of the Deer. And on Christmas Day in 1887, the first drop flowed from the stills.
You don't say.
Yeah, and it's still it's owned by William Grant's family still, so... I didn't realize that it was...
It's an old, old distillery.
Yeah. But I didn't realize that Glenfiddich meant... Which makes sense because, you know, the logo on
Glenfiddich like a deer. It looks almost like an elk, but, you know, it's a huge deer either way.
Right. So it just makes a lot more sense now to me that that Glenfiddich is Gaelic for Valley of the Deer.
Yeah.
So But it is. It's extremely smooth. As it goes down, it's like it's just very smooth.
And you know what I've noticed since I've started drinking whiskey only out of these Catholic Mancho Glencairn glasses,
mm-hmm.
is that the aroma is a lot more easy.
Absolutely.
I pick up on the aroma a lot more, and that's because of the shape of the glass. You know,
right.
We've talked about that, but it funnels it all right there to where your nose is.
Mm-hmm.
And
so tell them how to get the Glencairn glass.
So if you send me $1,000, I'll send you one. Another way to do it is to go to breadboxmedia.com and click on the Friends of the Show link.
Mm-hmm.
There should be a link there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're there, search for The Catholic Man Show and then sign up to donate $10 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So recurring monthly $10. And the first thing we'll do is we'll send you a glass.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but you'll also be entitled to all of the other stuff that we do. And we put out special content just for the Friends of the Show.
Right.
We're going to start sending you books as we receive books, because mm-hmm. people send us books that we can send to you.
Right.
And so we will do that. And
our bumper stickers, our t-shirts,
yeah,
extra content that we record.
All of the above.
So I also got to give a shout out to my man, Miles. Miles reached out to me on Instagram, or the Catholic Man Show on Instagram. And he's a high schooler, but he's getting the glass for his dad for Christmas.
Great idea,
so,
Miles.
Miles, great job, my man.
These would be a sweet Christmas gift.
Absolutely.
For a man.
Absolutely. So go check them out.
So think now.
Yeah, because we actually just re-upped our order. We have 65 new glasses that we can ship out.
But we'll be right back with the man gear.
A very manly gear.
Very manly gear. So stick tight. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Raise it high.
And make it a man show glass.
Mmm.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, sitting here in the old original studio with Adam Minahan, enjoying a fantastic glass of whiskey.
Thank you, Jason Hobbs.
Whiskey without an E.
Yes, whiskey without a malt, actually.
A malt, yeah. Yes.
If there is something...
Jacob, did you say Jacob or Jason?
I think I said Jacob.
Okay.
But if I said Jason, I meant Jacob.
I mean, Jason's cool, too.
Yeah, his brother. But,
his brother is Jason.
Right. But Jacob Hobbs is the one who provided this drink for us today, Glenfiddich, 18-year-old.
Did we cheers to Jacob?
We need to if we...
Cheers.
No. Cheers. What's his cheer?
May he forever live in a land flowing with milk and honey.
Mm.
And 18-year-old whiskey.
It's great whiskey. If there's something that we haven't tried yet that is... like on your bucket list of things that you love, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to get ideas on what we should be trying next.
I think that's a fantastic idea, Adam.
And especially if...
Let me take it one step further,
okay.
If I may.
You may.
If I may.
I will allow it.
If you have a whiskey that you think we should try, you could always send it to us.
Yeah.
And we will be happy to receive with gratitude the gift that you present to us. And some, depending on where you live, that might be against the law to send it to us, but that doesn't mean you can't get in your car and drive to Tulsa, Oklahoma and bring it to us.
Right. Hey, we had an awesome conversation this last week with the Catholic gentleman.
Sam Guzman.
Yeah. He is kind of an inspiration to us as far as his website, and his Facebook page. He writes amazing stuff, and a lot of times we go onto his website to kind of get our creative mojo going.
Juices flowing, juices, yeah. The man juices.
Yeah.
Mental man juices.
Right. There's some distinction to be made. But it was a lot of fun to talk to him. And we actually kind of talked about him coming onto our show as a guest soon. So that would be a lot of fun.
I think is going to happen. It just it seems like it's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so, yeah, so they just moved out here to the area to become homesteaders. I mean,
yeah, basically.
I think
he got a bunch of land and out there by the Clear Creek Monastery.
Yeah, which is, he said there's 40 families out there now.
Yeah, it's growing.
I had no idea it was that many.
Right. I really like it, especially, you know, I keep thinking about our camping trip that we went on, the week before.
Yeah.
And just how fun that was.
Mm-hmm.
Just being outdoors with guys and just, you know, just being men. It was just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And the idea of homesteading is kind of like the idea of going back to the natural habitat of mankind or families.
Yeah.
And that is just so appealing to me. And I get excited thinking about it, maybe hopefully someday.
Doing your own stuff.
Yeah. I really hope that comes to fruition
at
some point. Dave, let's get into the man gear.
Okay.
Because it will trickle into the man topic. This is going to be all of our shows are extremely manly, but this is going to be extremely, extremely manly.
Like that.
Yeah.
Like that sound I made.
Like a Tim the Toolman Taylor grunt.
Oh, oh, oh. The man gear for today is holy water.
Yeah. But not necessarily just holy water, but having holy water.
In
your house.
Yeah.
Specifically for men.
Mm-hmm.
Because as men, men are mad. There's priesthood. Men, fathers are domestic priests.
Yeah,
right?
We have the authority in the home.
Right, so we're not ministerial priests.
Spiritual authority.
But we're domestic priests in our home. And what do priests do? They offer blessings and sacrifices,
mm-hmm.
right? So as men, we're called to sacrifice for our family. That's a given. But we're also called to bless, to be a blessing.
Yeah, and we've talked about that.
A little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, I think that it is a... When we talk about sins of omission, for what I have done and what I have failed to do, I think one of the things that fathers fail to do too often, including myself, is bless their children.
Mm-hmm.
We're the spiritual protectors of the family. The devil has to come through us first before they get to our family.
Mm-hmm.
And so as spiritual leaders of our family, I think that it is crucial that we bless and protect our children every night before we go to bed.
Totally.
And not only just our children, but our possessions, our home, things that, that we own should be blessed.
Right.
So,
yeah. And that's one thing that I always forget to pack when I go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I always forget to take holy water with me.
So I did too. Here's the remedy. Are you ready?
Have it on your keychain.
I have it on my keychain.
I knew it.
I have a little capsule.
I'm so proud of myself.
Yeah.
I get 20 points.
You've seen it. You've seen it.
Yeah, I know.
So.
It's because you and I hang out sometimes.
Yeah. But I actually have a little capsule on my keychain that is blessed holy water that I carry around with me all the time because I have my keys on me all the time. And so it also works really well when I'm being tempted. Whenever I feel myself being tempted in whatever sin, whatever that is,
Tell us, Adam.
I have.
What are they?
It could be a wide variety of things. I'm a broken man. But whenever I have it, I have it on me and I feel that temptation coming, I quickly grab that and bless myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it just is spiritual protection.
Do you ever wish you had a gallon of holy water you could
just dump it? Yeah. But, water is...
Take this, Satan!
Right, exactly. But, water cleanses and purifies, right, in a natural sense.
Yeah.
And it reminds us of baptism. Water is cleansing of original sin, washing us in, reminding us of our baptism.
Uh-huh.
And so I think it's a great reminder of our baptism when we bless ourselves with with holy water.
Let's can we nuance the holy water a little bit, because not all holy water is the same.
Okay, you want to go into that? Do we have time?
I think we do. I think we have time.
So the efficaciousness of holy water?
So it seems like there might be a move in the coming future, the near future maybe, back to the old rite of blessings.
Mm-hmm.
But the new rite of blessing is simply not as efficacious.
Not that it's bad.
It's not bad, and it's still holy water.
Right.
But people like exorcists who use things like holy water a lot, they will tell you that there is a clear difference between holy water, which has been blessed in the old rite versus the new rite. And the reason is because in the old rite, there are a series of exorcisms that are done to the water. And especially if it's done in Latin, because the blessing itself makes it clear that this water is now, this blessing on the water is an act of war.
Mm-hmm.
That this is in specific, you know, it's done specifically to attack Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the new rite, it's done, say, oh, you know, bless this water as a reminder of our baptism.
Mm-hmm.
So it just leaves out some of those really powerful blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot easier to do. The new rite, you know, takes a couple seconds. The old rite took
a little longer.
A few minutes, yeah.
Do we want to talk about Epiphany water then?
Yeah, so I have a gallon of Epiphany water.
Okay, so tell our tell
Epiphany water has to be blessed on the Epiphany.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a whole huge I almost want to call it a liturgy that has to be done on the water, where they have to vest, you know, priests have to be in vestments, they have to sing songs. It takes about an hour to do. But it goes along with the blessing of the houses, which is still very common on the Epiphany,
mm-hmm.
that priests would make this Epiphany water and then go out and bless all the homes with it. And that's why they would blessed houses on the Epiphany, because they could have Epiphany water to do it. So I have some Epiphany water. I've been stretching it, making it last as long as I can, because it's kind of a big deal to ask a priest to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But
because it takes a lot of time. But what you can do, you can refill it, right? So as long as it doesn't get below half, is it half or a third?
Yeah, well, that's you let it get below half. So, you know, if you have...
Oh, sorry, my 3 p.m. Divine Mercy alarm went off.
It's okay, I forgive you because of my holiness. So do our listeners.
Thank you.
For the sake
of a sorrowful passion.
If you have a quart of holy water left,
right?
It's like, oh, I had a gallon, now I only have a quart. Well, okay, so just add another quart.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a half a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why can't you just add another half gallon?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they say, oh, you can keep doing it over and over and over again, but don't ever add more than half. Well, it's like... that logic doesn't... I've heard... Monsignor Gallo says, yeah, but, you know, maybe only do that twice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But,
you can kind of do whatever you think is appropriate in that situation.
Yeah. And just consult a priest.
Yeah.
But it is it's the duty of a man to bless his family.
Right.
And so I strongly encourage my kids actually look forward to the blessing at the end of the night.
Uh-huh.
And it's super easy. It's something that every man can do. Don't make it a big deal. You know, you bless them. And here's what I say. May God bless you and keep you. May you stay in the protection of our Holy Mother. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And I just say, God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah. I mean, all of 3 seconds?
Trace the sign of the cross on him, yeah.
Yeah. It takes all of 3 seconds to do.
And Elizabeth, if she sees a holy water font, she's going to, she wants to put her hands in it.
Yep, so do my boys.
And if she doesn't get to, she's upset.
Yeah, so do my boys. In fact, I have to limit them because sometimes we almost take a bath in it when we get to church.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So, but it is our duty to do that. And I encourage guys to, when they leave for work or if they're leaving on a business trip, to make sure that you bless your family.
Yeah,
before.
And so if you don't have holy water fonts in your house, go get some. Put them there. If you don't have holy water bottles, go get some. Take them with you.
Yeah.
Especially when you go traveling, I always forget to bring them, but bring them with you.
Right, and you can get them at any Catholic local Catholic book and gift store,
yeah.
Or online.
Or anything that holds water.
Right, so it's really easy to do. No excuses, men. Man up.
We'll be right back. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about duty.
Yes.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Breadbox Media invites you to connect with us. Visit breadboxmedia.com to download the app. Connect with us via social media. Give us your feedback. Get to know your show hosts. Find the program schedule and more. Breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So we raise our glass. We've raised our glass to several men today. Let's raise it again to St. John Paul the Great.
To John Paul the Great.
May he watch over us and our families from now till the end of time.
Please pray for us, yeah.
So we're enjoying a nice Glenfiddich 18-year from Jacob Hobbs, who gave that to us to promote on the Catholic Man Show. We just talked about some
holy
water.
Thank you, Jacob.
Yes, thank you, Jacob. And Dave, earlier this week, I had kind of a revelation from God.
No way.
Yeah, that I had to write a book. And, like, I'm not a good writer.
Really?
You know, like...
You're going to write a book?
I'm going to write a book. You know, I write some of our blogs and stuff.
Yeah?
But I'm not a good writer. I just do it out of necessity. But I had this, like... I was in adoration, and I was sitting there, and I was, you know, asking the Lord to conform my will to His.
Mm-hmm.
And it instantly hit me, I need to write a book. And it came to me. The whole thing came to me. Like that.
Tell me.
Okay. The title is How to Conquer Humility in 10 Easy Steps. Subtitle, and How I Did It in 3.
Awesome.
So I'm going to write a book on humility. And that,
doesn't that really seem like more my department?
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was my Catholic joke of the week.
I like it. We talked about this. I'm glad you took my advice. I told him, like, Adam, your joke's going to be way funnier if you don't say, all right, here's my joke.
Mm-hmm.
If you just throw it in there. And that was good. Like, I was over here going, like, wow, he's going to write a book?
Yeah, because I didn't even tell you about it.
No.
Yeah.
But are you going to write a book?
No, I'm not writing
a book. That's pretty good. I like that. That's my favorite one so far.
Thank you.
It's all in the delivery. The cheesy jokes can be hilarious.
Yeah.
If you just deliver them.
I got to tell you, though. I have to confess.
Okay.
It's not my joke, obviously.
Well.
I got it from Dan Sullivan.
Really?
Before you got there the other day, we were talking about, actually, your humility.
Yeah, because my humility is known worldwide.
Worldwide, right. Yeah. And he told me that joke, and I was like, got that one mentally checked for this next episode.
I mean, Fulton Sheen said on humility that it would not be humble for him to deny the fact that he's a good speaker. He knows he's a good speaker.
Mm-hmm.
God gave him the gift of public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to say, no, I'm not a good speaker, would be not humble. It would be false humility. It would be denying a gift that God gave him.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm just super humble. And for me to deny it would be denying a gift God has given me.
Okay, let's get into the man topic.
To Dan Sullivan.
And Deacon Tim Sullivan.
Both of them.
I'll let you do the cheers.
May the patron saints of Ireland walk every step along their journey.
Is that St. Patrick?
I don't know. There's probably more than one.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, hey, all of them. The Irish saints.
Yeah.
Surely there was more than one.
It's really funny that St. Patrick wasn't even from Ireland.
No, I know.
But anyway, we're digressing.
So we're talking about duty today.
Yes.
And if my wife were here, she would make a poop joke. I promise you. It's just, she likes poop jokes. I don't know. It's just one of the things I love about her.
Luckily, she's not here.
She's not here.
So we don't have to fight that temptation.
You know, somebody out there, if we're saying the word duty over and over again, there's somebody out there who's going to be like snickering to themselves. It's like, okay, we said it.
Right. Let's get that out of the way.
Let's just move on.
Check. We're done. Let's move on.
Okay. So as a man,
mm-hmm.
I inherently know I have duties.
Mm-hmm.
I have obligations that I have to live up to. And I think as men, we respond to those things a lot more than other types of motivation. You know, for, mm-hmm. and when I say other types, I mean, things that tend to motivate women
mm-hmm.
don't tend to always motivate men. You know,
that's very clear. Yeah.
The whole, and I'm not saying they don't motivate men at all, like compassion and like,
right. But we're wired
empathy.
Differently.
Those things do motivate us.
You know, those kind of things are what motivate men.
Right. It's the challenge.
Right.
The stepping up, you got to step up to the plate kind of thing. I think that really, at least for me,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's true for most men, that's what tends to motivate us.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And so duty, I think, is one of those prime movers.
Absolutely. I think it's really interesting that men in general, they get some kind, sort of satisfaction from working really hard outside and a physical exhaustion.
Yeah.
There's some kind of satisfaction there. Like this week I did some manual labor for my job, which is very out of the norm for me.
Uh-huh.
But even though I was exhausted at the end of the day, there was some sort of satisfaction of I completed a tough task.
It feels right.
It feels good.
Yeah.
Even though I came home exhausted, I felt like I did something worthy.
Yeah, those days, even when it's not manual, but manual labor, but if you just get a lot done,
mm-hmm.
like, wow, in fact, yesterday for me, I got a lot of stuff done on my to-do list
mm-hmm.
Because I need to get it done before the baby gets here.
Right.
She's going to be...
Soon.
Pamela said she feels like into next week.
Wow.
So we'll see.
And women have, like, those intuitions of...
They're very
like,
intuitive.
Yeah.
Very, so, very intuitive.
That's exciting.
So they're like Apple, they're like iPhones. They're just very intuitive.
Nice.
Okay. There's my joke for the day.
Don't steal my thing. It's my thing.
How about we call the segment David's Catholic Joke, except you tell it.
No.
I think that would be a good idea.
I hate that idea. Hate it.
So anyway, duty, obligation, you know, these kind of things all go hand in hand. But I want to talk about kind of starting off broad
okay.
and getting specific. Or maybe a better way to say it is starting off with what is our highest level of duty
okay.
and working its way down.
All right.
Because the way, when I think about that, to me, it starts with God. We have a duty to God.
Right.
We have a duty to our family.
Mm-hmm.
We have a duty to our country.
Mm-hmm.
We have a duty to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, you know, other things in between there, but those are just kind of some major highlighted points.
And community.
Community. Yeah, a country, community.
Okay, local community, though. I think we have more of an obligation to our local community.
I would agree. And if we have time when we get there,
okay.
I think...
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm jumping the gun.
That would be a good nuance to talk okay. about. So, duty to God.
Mm-hmm.
What is our duty to God?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thankfully, he told us. You know, he has given us 10, you know, we have the Decalogue,
mm-hmm.
we've got the church, and thank God, thank you God, for leaving a church with your authority.
Right.
Otherwise, this would be a really tough question to answer, just honestly. What is your duty to God? Well, if there's no authority that says, here is your duty to God, how do you really know that you're meeting your duty, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think the most obvious one is we have to go to church on Sunday.
Right.
And our duty to God really is why we have a duty to all of the other things that we're going to talk about. Why do you have a duty to your family?
Mm-hmm.
It's because your duty to God requires these other duties of you.
You know what hit me while you were saying this is St. Francis de Sales' quote that everybody should pray 30 minutes a day unless you're busy, and then you should pray an hour.
Right.
And it's your duty to God out of justice to your Creator who created you to have a relationship with him
mm-hmm.
and not only just with him, but have a personal relationship with him.
Right.
You know, and it is your duty. How do you have a relationship with anybody?
You spend time
with them.
Yeah.
And not all, you can even waste time with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't mean like your time is wasted by being with God,
just
but,
doing nothing,
but you're doing, yeah. What happens whenever you're with your wife? You don't care what you're doing. You just want to spend time with her.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way with God.
Right.
You don't care what you're doing. You just want to spend time with him.
Yeah.
That hit me while you were saying that.
I also found this short poem that, struck me as beautiful about duty that I thought I would share.
Okay.
This is by Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Okay.
So nigh is grandeur to our dust. So near is God to man. When duty whispers low, thou must, the youth replies, I can.
Hmm. I really like that. But here's what hits me whenever you tell me that,
uh-huh.
is when youth says, I can. Because today, most youth do not say, I can.
I agree.
There's a certain effeminacy.
Effeminacy?
Effeminacy.
Who knows?
Something like that.
You get it.
Yeah, you understand what we're saying. That has happened in today's cult, like in today, where, you know, 100 years ago, when you were 18, 20-year-old man, you were like...
Dude, I was not 18 100 years ago.
No, if you were an 18...
I'm not that old.
No, 100 years ago, if you were an 18 to 20-year-old man, you were, like, expected to... have a family, you know, start a family.
Or have a profession.
Right, or have a profession and start a family.
I mean, back in Jesus' day, you started your profession, you know, you were 14, 15, all right. You know, you've been an apprentice with your dad now. Like,
right.
Jesus,
you're,
you know,
supposed to start.
Right, you should know how to be a carpenter by now.
Right, and now you have 28, 29-year-old kids who are still, or men, who are still living with their parents playing video games in the basement.
I heard a man told me one time talking about this topic. He said, he may have just made the point about 18-year-olds today. He said, when I was 18, mm-hmm. I was the captain on an air raid bomb, you know, like...
Squad, yeah.
I was the captain of a plane dropping bombs in World War II.
Right. And I think a lot of this has to do with the lack of, you know, when things get hard, guys don't want to do it. You know, the guy, or guys refuse to do it.
Which really is what effeminate means.
Right, exactly. It's...
Let's define it.
Pleasing... Okay, so St. Thomas says effeminacy is caused in two ways. By custom, for where a man is accustomed to enjoy pleasures, it is more difficult for him to endure the lack of them.
Okay.
Or another, by natural disposition, because of wit, his mind is less persevering through the frailty of his temperament.
So typically it's when he enjoys the pleasures and it can't say no to worldly pleasure.
Right, and he runs away from tough times. Tough thing.
Okay. All right. Well, when we get back, we're going to keep this topic going with duty.
Stay manly over the break.
Please stay manly, because you're going to need it when we get back. We are on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back, brothers, to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So we raise our 18-year Glenfiddich Catholic Man Show glass combo.
Mmm.
It's a good combo.
It's a great combo.
Good combo.
One of the best that we've had.
Can't say no to that. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Although Harrison Garlick warned us when he filled in for you that mm-hmm. the more you started drinking the Laphroaig, how it's going to ruin other whiskey for you. And it's like, gosh darn it, if that's not happening to me,
mm-hmm.
Harrison.
Yeah, Laphroaig is just, like, so good.
But I used to hate it. I used to think it was gross.
I know.
That's okay. Just a sign of, like, becoming a burly man. I'm just a burly man over here. With my beard.
Way to persevere.
I have a beard now these days. Maybe people don't know.
They can't see it.
Can't they?
No.
Doesn't come
Actually,
true.
They could if they went to our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Ooh, what a great plug. What a great segue.
Check out some of the sweet videos we made.
Yeah.
I play the harmonica.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we went camping last week and we made a little video of the camp out. It was a lot mm-hmm. of fun.
Yeah, I guess I should say I play the harmonica in the video.
Right.
No, I'm not just saying that, just so you know. Like,
right.
Just so you guys know, I play the harmonica.
Right.
So, okay.
Let's get back to duty.
So here we are. We're going to continue avoiding heresy on this episode, because I think we've done it so far.
I think we've done a good job so far.
So far. But you never know what we're about to say. Especially me. You just never know what I'm going to say.
We still have 10.5 minutes.
Okay. St. Michael be with us.
Yes.
So we talked about, you know, here we are talking about duty, hierarchy that I just came up with. You know, this isn't official. It's just kind of thinking about what is your level of, you know, how much duty do you owe? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you primarily have duty to God, duty to family, duty to country, is that right? And then
yeah.
duty to self.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of those things has subcategories. So we talked about duty to God, duty to family.
Mm-hmm.
This one is, I think, obvious, however, is becoming the plague of our current day society.
Oh, man.
You know, we are, I fear, going to be known as the fatherless generation.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, you look at the stats and unwed children being raised in unwed households is on the rise
right.
like crazy. I think
right.
it's like a third. I mean,
wow.
Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure nationally it's close to that. Wow. It's a lot. Anyway.
That saddens me.
That's a problem. So what does that mean? That means that there's a lot of men out there mm-hmm. who are not fulfilling their duty to their family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're there, I'm not saying that just because you have children and you're not living with them, you know, you're divorced, that, you know, you've done something, you know, okay, there's always extenuating circumstances that maybe, you know, were outside of your control.
Mm-hmm.
However,
we're talking about the majority, not the minority.
Exactly. Yeah. We're speaking in general terms here.
Right.
So that is something that we all have to take. We have to take that seriously.
Right.
Because the reason why, as we said before, that we have this duty to our families is because we have a duty to God, and He has given us, like your kids, they're not
set that up that way.
Right. They are really God's children.
Mm-hmm.
The children in your house that you have fathered, your offspring, are God's. They're God's kids. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's just like that movie Super Troopers. It's God's water, man. It's God's water. That's a movie I cannot endorse, but. Your kids, it's God's kids. So, when you are judged, God's going to say, like, hey, I gave you these kids.
Mm-hmm.
Did you take care of them?
Right.
And I'll just tell you, the answer to that question you want to be able to give is yes. Okay, you want to be able to say that.
Yeah. For your salvation's sake.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right. I was just making it very clear.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Because men appreciate clarity.
We do. Clarity before agreement, I think.
Yes.
Anyway, duty to family is super important.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not fulfilling your duty to God if you're not fulfilling your duty to your family.
And we've talked about this a little bit before, but, you know, just to recap, like, that means that you have to do things that are hard. Men, you know, are built that way, that we have to do things that are hard. We have to sacrifice ourselves for our families.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be huge sacrifices. I think that you should make huge sacrifices for your family, but even the little sacrifices, like the little way, like Saint Therese, like those are just, you know, those are meaningful to God as well.
Right.
The little sacrifices that you make for your family, denying yourself for the good of your family, that's what we're called to do.
Yeah. So then the next duty that you have is a duty to the state, and you could say duty to community, duty to.
I like community better just because it means more local.
Sure. But you still have a duty to the state, you know.
I just think if we're going the hierarchy, like, I think you have a...
Well, I'm inside the duty to the state primarily is to your local community.
Okay. Yeah.
And then first.
Right.
Yeah, because of the principle of subsidiarity,
mm-hmm.
you have a duty. Your duty extends to your local community, to those nearest to you first, mm-hmm. then, you know, to the outward circles.
Give them some examples of how to do that.
Okay, so... you have a duty to take care of, you know, it's like, all right, we have the homeless people in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before you go take care of homeless people other places, mm-hmm. you should be taking care of the homeless in your community.
Mm-hmm.
The state only needs to be as big as is the problems for which we do not solve in our own local communities. If we are taking care of everything in our community, then the state doesn't need to be as big. And it also kind of applies to the family. As the family deteriorates, as the family gets smaller, mm-hmm. the state gets bigger.
Right.
Because the family is designed by God to take care of the community.
Right. And some of the local, like, examples that I was hitting or thinking was, you know, Catholic Charities. They always need
right.
volunteers.
Yes.
Your parish, your local parish, always needs volunteers for things. I think it's a duty as a Catholic man to make sure that you're involved in your local community
mm-hmm.
with your local parish, with Catholic Charities.
Right. And so there's all these great national charities.
With
and I'm
local
not saying,
Catholic radio station.
Yeah. Local Catholic radio, man.
Yeah.
They need your help.
Yeah.
All these great national charities. and I'm not saying you shouldn't give money to them, but I do think that you need to make sure that your local charities have everything that they need before you extend your charity to a more national thing. So we mentioned Harrison Garlick. He gave the talk at Theology on Tap this last month, and it was on the topic of should Catholics vote, and he said a lot of great things. One of them was he talked about how it used to be that people naturally felt a sense of indebtedness to the community, that we're all born in debt, not only to sin, but to our community.
Mm-hmm.
They've set up systems that we have contributed not to,
mm-hmm.
and that we all benefit from. We have we are in debt to the community, and how do we repay that debt? By contributing to the common good. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so, you know, he was talking about voting, but today everybody says they don't feel that indebtedness. Now it's a sense of entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a terrible problem. I don't know how to fix that, but my gut tells me we need to reinstate the family.
Yeah.
As the primary thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Mother Teresa said. You want to help world peace? Go home and love your family.
Yeah. So G.K. Chesterton, one of the things he's criticized heavily for is he did not support women's suffrage. He didn't think women should be given the right to vote. Not because he said women wouldn't vote as well, or women don't deserve it, or their dignity is less. He was simply worried that when you make the individual the voting unit, then the political priority no longer is the family. And that now the political priority is the individual.
That is very interesting.
Yeah. And it's like, whether or not it's like, I think there's some truth there. There's probably some truth there, whether or not that means, you know.
Right. I'd have to do some thinking on that.
But
it's very,
there's certainly something to think about.
It's tantalizing.
So anyway, vote locally.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be involved in local politics.
Our political
system is getting out of hand.
Right.
Get involved locally, then worry about the presidential election, because the president, it's like, this year.
Right.
Anyway, then finally, after all of these things, we have a duty to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we come last in the hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's...
Which makes sense, because we're here to protect, right?
Yeah.
So in protecting...
Protect and serve.
Right. Protect and serve. In doing that, that makes yourself last. So
yeah.
It makes sense as a Catholic man.
Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, the Christian ethic is that we think of other people before we think of ourselves. Now, sometimes you have a duty to yourself over and above specific duties to others. You have a duty to feed yourself, to nourish yourself, before you have a duty to, you know, mow your neighbor's yard.
Right.
You know, so it's just, I'm not saying that just because one particular duty is oriented towards another means that it's higher of a higher importance than one to yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I think that's obvious. Okay.
You just told me about the Council of Trent, Catechism of the Council of Trent.
Thing. Yeah. So we've just got a couple minutes left. I'm going to read this. This is from the Council from the Catechism of Trent.
Okay.
The Catechism from the Council of Trent.
Right.
This is on the duties of a husband. It is then the duty of the husband to treat his wife courteously with honor, and herein it should be recollected that Eve was called by Adam his companion, the woman, he says, whom thou gavest me as a companion. It is hence in the opinion of some of the fathers that she was formed not from the feet but from the side of man, and that goes on to, you know, talk about how she's equal. I think another good way to say this is a quote by John Paul II that mm-hmm. it is the duty, the dignity of every woman mm-hmm. is the duty of every man.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
As a man, every single woman, her dignity is our responsibility.
I think we could end the show better than that right there.
Yeah.
So check us out on Facebook. Let us know what your thoughts are. If you've tried the Glenfiddich 18, if you have great stories about blessing your children, let us know. If you want a Catholic Man Show glass,
become a friend of the show.
Right. Check us out on YouTube and all of our other social media. It's been a lot of fun, Dave.
Always.
We're on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.